By the end of the walk, if we don't like take charge of ourselves, we can be very grumpy people. So instead of being revived by the nourished by it. And so part of the title, the choice of title is really than to joy and contentment, but it's partly my growing awareness of how often and how easily I get consumed by anger and rage about things, different things. And so I can be emotional both in contentment but also in anger, and I can move there very quickly. And so I thought I would look at the concept here of gratitude, because it comes down to gratitude. And I find gratitude a word that's a little bit hard to know quite how to define. And so what I'd like to do here, or what I'm going to do, is just to some gratitude with several of the passages that Paul uses to talk about he has joy. In this first one, he says, "I thank God for every remembrance of you." This is chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. "Always in every one of my prayers for you, praying with joy for your partnership in the gospel from the very first day." So that first source of joy is in the context of prayer. So he's thinking about the congregation, he's thinking about these people that he knows, and he has joy because they partnered with him all along. I talked about that last week, right from the beginning. Lydia invited him to come with her and stay at her house, and he did. So the second one passage is in chapter 2, and he gives a slightly different reason for his joy. And that is, if then there is any comfort in Christ, any consolation from love, any partnership in the Spirit, any tender affection and sympathy, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, having the same love. So his second bit there is that my joy will be complete when I see you in unity, not squabbling over each other, with each other. And frequently we see how fragile relationships are by the way people are bickering with each other and so forth. And, I bicker far less than Dorothy does, but I'll leave that alone. I don't know what I was going to say. Anyway, what's that? She is. She's right there. That's why I looked at her and shut up. You think I shut up on my own? Are you kidding? Verse 17 says, "But he poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the service of your faith. I rejoice, and I rejoice together with you all. In the same way also I should rejoice and rejoice together, way you also should rejoice and rejoice together with me." So Paul, even though he is in prison, in part because of his relationship to this church founding, church planting journey that he is on, he is in prison, but He says, rejoice with me, because it's because of what I'm doing with you. It's because of your growth in the faith that I'm in prison. And so he's not lamenting that. He's saying it's actually an occasion to spread the love of Christ. So it's for witness. So there's prayer with joy. There's the recognition of the unity. There's the witness, the testimony, their faith. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if I'll start a little bit earlier, because he has sent Timothy and Epaphroditus, Epaphroditus being from Philippi, he has sent, they have accompanied him on his journey, and now he sent them back to Philippi to share with them, to encourage them, and so forth. And he says, still, I think it necessary to send Epaphroditus to you, my brother and co-worker and fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for all of you and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. And then it goes on and says, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for those services that you could not give me. Finally, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. So he's rejoicing because of that physical representation of their caring for Paul while he's in prison. And even though it resulted in Epaphroditus becoming ill and practically dying, he calls upon them to rejoice in that sharing. So it's, in a sense, it's hospitality. They're communicating hospitality and love through sending these to partners in the gospel. Then in chapter 4, it starts with, in verse 1, therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. So he is rejoicing in the Lord because he sees in them a reason to celebrate God's love and grace in their lives. They are a tribute to the way that God has worked through Paul in them. And so he calls them, claims them as his crown. Then he goes on to say, yes, and I ask also my loyal companion, help these women. So Lydia and others who were there in Philippi, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord. This is chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So he expresses his gratitude. He expresses his desire to see manifest in them the very nature of Jesus, the imitation of Christ. He says, that is actually part of your testimony within the community, and so forth. Then it goes on, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but you had no opportunity to show it. So in the sending of the two co-workers, they are expressing their love and appreciation for Paul. So what does this example or this sharing of Paul's to the community at Philippi mean for how we think about ourselves? And last week, I got all distracted by my own thoughts. But the title of the sermon came from this part of this passage, in which he talks about the decision-making process, and so that we can discern in confidence together. And the thing that for me comes to mind is how, as we live and express our gratitude in this community for what God has done for us, that is fundamental to our testimony. You know, there's testimony in missiology, the study of missions. There are basically two things that they talk about, centrifugal and centripetal. So, but our Anabaptist understanding has always been partly that in our quality of life together as a community, that is our testimony. For many years, that's how the Mennonite church grew, especially in North America. And the Amish still embody, once they get to a certain size, so many families move off and start a new area and so on and so forth. So it's the community itself that draws people in. And that's what I hear Paul saying here, that if we embrace gratitude, if we embrace a lifestyle that manifests this relationship with God, this desire to serve the world, serve others and draw them into Christ's love, if we give that as our testimony, our witness, and it's the quality of our life together, we are inviting people in. And so it gets me to think about this space, you know, and I long to see the rest of the work done here. I long to see whatever decisions need to be made about what the front's going to look like, what the entry is. You know, I simply, in a sense, I really fundamentally don't care. But what I do care about is getting it done. So how are we going to get there? How do we go from where we are right now to where we are, where we see ourselves in 6 months or a year? You know, Ryan was here a couple of weeks ago, and whenever I meet with him to talk about this work here, one of his questions is always, where do you want to be in another so many months? And I don't find that an annoyance, I find it an encouragement. And the other thing, I skipped over this earlier, Paul talks about he talks about complete my joy, progress and joy. In verse 25 of chapter 2, he ties together his joy with progress. And that just jumped out at me here. Now, why can't I see it there? It's chapter 2. No, one. It's chapter 125. He says, since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. So he's tying it to progress and joy in the faith. So how does our stewardship of this space, how is it tied to our progress and joy in the faith? Dorothy reminded me a couple days ago of a project, another unfinished project. Last year, I bought some sort of foam things to use to put pavers down in our backyard because we're always tracking grass into the car and so on and so forth. And anyway, so I said, well, we could put a path down like this. And then I was thinking all this sand and how much it took to do certain things. And then the guy at Lowe's said to me, why don't you try these things? And it's just so you dig down, you still dig down a good bit, but you don't go near as far down as you do for sand. And you put those foam pads on, and then you lay the tiles on top of the foam pads. Now, hopefully none of you have had bad experience with this and so forth, because I still haven't gotten to it. But she said, speaking of things that have become invisible, and it's a stack this high of these things, and a bag of sand on top. And anyway, the thing is, for me, those kind of things become invisible. And one of the little, I don't know if it was a self-help thing that I read or was listening to, but anyway, it was talking about, you know, when you get those invisible things, my words, when you get too much accumulation of those invisible things, you ended up sort of negativizing your whole thing. You see yourself as an unfinished project. And yes, I'm an unfinished project, but getting these little projects done encourages us and gives us more energy to carry on. So whatever it is, whether it is us as a congregation or whether it is us individually, I go from gratitude as the core of this, but may our expression of gratitude be something that encourage us to greater works in Christ. And that might be putting down these paver stones. That might be having more discussion about how we move forward with the rest of the building. I don't know, but I really want to see progress. Not just in myself, but in all of us together and in our expression of community together. Amen? Okay.